Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Anna Sale, in for Brian Lehr on WNYC and WNYC.org on this snowy morning. Today on the show, we'll hear about Wall Street recruits who were hired after the 2008 financial collapse and how they're influencing Wall Street culture today. Kevin Roos of New York Magazine is author of the book Young Money, and he'll lay out this post-crash moral universe. Plus, with some landowners in upstate New York pushing for a fracking decision in Albany, we'll hear from an inside climate news reporter about air quality problems in Texas linked to the practice. Physicist Brian Green will be here to talk about his new STEM education website, and we'll discuss a legal dilemma some gay families in New York are facing. But first, what will it mean for you if Comcast is successful in acquiring Time Warner Cable? The company's announced a $45 billion deal last week, but it still needs approval from regulators. David Carr is media columnist and culture reporter for the New York Times, and he's written about the pending merger and about how Comcast is like a submarine. Hi, David. Welcome back to WNYC.
Nice to be with you.
So, David, how is Comcast like a submarine?
Well, there's a lot of big, splashy companies. Certainly News Corp comes to mind, Viacom comes to mind, and you probably know, some of your listeners probably know what Sumner Redstone looks like or what Rupert Murdoch looks like. I don't think they'd recognize Brian Roberts on a bet. He's not a super high-profile guy, doesn't make a lot of noise, and they stay under the radar, but in the meanwhile, they've done a very significant roll-up in the media and now perhaps the cable space that has really significant implications.
So not just under the radar, but a little bit foreboding, a submarine is.
Well, they're not invisible to everyone. They spent $18 million lobbying in Washington last year. One of their lobbyist is a former member of the FCC, which is one of the agencies that regulates what Comcast is going to do. The guy who runs the FCC is a former lobbyist for the entire cable industry, and Mr. Roberts has hosted the president at his place on Martha's Vineyard, and one of his top executives is one of the current president's top bundlers in terms of fundraising. So not invisible to all.
Not invisible to all. And that gets to the question of approval for the pending merger, which we'll get to in a bit. But first, listeners, we want to take your calls on this. What are your questions about this possible deal and what it will mean for you? We particularly want to hear from you if you're a cord cutter, someone who's ditched the cable box and the television and is watching TV online instead. You're running from the cable company, but maybe you can't hide. What are you thinking about this merger? 212-433-WNYC. What are your questions? 212-433-9692. So, David, on that question of cord cutters, you wrote that this is not just television anymore. You said basically where cable companies are moving and chasing after these cord cutters, you say it's akin to leaving a house that's on fire and having it chase you down the street. So explain that a bit. How is Comcast positioning itself to be the provider of the cable television company Comcast, the provider for cord cutters?
Well, the cable systems are not just where television programming comes from. It's where a lot of people get their internet, and Comcast, Time Warner, Verizon Fios all sell broadband products. And this is very much a fundamental part of the infrastructure of the internet for the American consumer. So you could look at your cable package and say, you know what, this is too much. It's too crazy for what I'm getting. And I'm going to cut the cord. But who are you really buying your broadband from? You're probably buying it from a cable company. I mean, there are municipalities that are building their old broadband product. Google is building a fiber product as well. But one of the worries with the merger is the incentive to upgrade to fiber optic is going away. I mean, if you look at the rankings of broadband speeds, internationally. The U.S. is like 33rd. It's underneath Lithuania and Romania, Slovakia. And that's not just a consumer issue. That's a business issue. It's a competitive business issue. The upload and download speeds of the internet could be a limiting factor on the ability of American companies to compete internationally.
A key question for infrastructure going forward. We've got a call from Nicola in Brooklyn Heights. What's your question about this pending merger?
Hi, I'm not sure about this merger. I read an article in the Times this weekend talking about how it's looking like they're going to be amping the rates on the internet, because I'm going to be dropping my cable. I don't appreciate paying $170 a month, and it's just too much.
So, David,
so I'm really thinking of, after reading that article, and I'm being called a cord cutter, I don't know where to go.
That's a great question, David. I mean, your colleague Farhad Manju in the Times over the weekend looked at cord cutters, and some may already be paying more than if they were going through regular cable users. And part of this is by design by Comcast. How is this working? If Comcast wants to keep you being a cable consumer and they're controlling the price of internet alone, are they trapping cord cutters?
I think that story by Farhad was such an important story for people to understand sort of where the internet comes from, you know, what it's actually tethered to. And you could see, and it isn't just Comcast, you could see other, I'm a Verizon Fios customer. If me and a bunch of people in my neighborhood started dumping cable, I'm not planning on it, but it started dumping cable, where there would be an incentive for them to start to lean on pricing for the broadband product. And it can be more lucrative for them because they don't have to pay those huge programming costs. They don't have to split the money with the HBOs and the AMCs. They're selling you more or less a utility, a capacity. Mm. But in that sense, sometimes it seems like it's almost like it's a public good that's in private hands. In other words, it's something we need. It's like electricity. It's like water. To stay, not just compete internationally, but for kids to do their homework, for people to pay their bills. And yet the people that are controlling the toll booth answer to their shareholders. They don't answer to us.
And as far as usage of that internet service, I mean, Time Warner Cable customers right now can use as much internet as they want. There's limitless downloading of everything. You can watch as much of The Wire, House of Cards, the entire Golden Girls series, anything. Will that change if they join up with Comcast?
I'm assuming it will, because Comcast limits the amount of broadband that people can consume. And there's two things, I think, and we're into an area I don't know a ton about, but just intuitively, one thing is you don't want so many people downloading so that the service itself degrades to the point where it's not useful. And the other thing is, if you're, like over Christmas, we had a lot of devices in the house and everybody was home, and I think up and down my block in New Jersey, the same thing was going on. And Verizon came on with a little note and said, you can upgrade your broadband speeds for X amount of dollars. And I finally just said, okay, yes. And you could see how you could be induced. I mean, there was Comcast has promised to observe net neutrality, which means all content is equal. And even though Netflix, by some accounts, is a competitor because they own NBC Universal, they've said they will abide by the principle of net neutrality, but there's no longer any relevant law backing that up. The circuit court last month decided that net neutrality, struck down net neutrality as a concept. So it's a little scary for the consumer.
So that's net neutrality, but I want to just go back to what you said. Comcast limits the amount of data that its customer uses. We have a lot of Time Warner customers in our listening area, but what's the mechanism that Comcast uses now in terms of data fees?
Well, a lot of the bigger feeds that come off into your home from streaming services come from so-called peering networks, and it's middlemen that are paid to deliver your service. And so even if Comcast or others don't limit speeds, those peering arrangements are a point of leverage for those companies, and they could say, well, if you want your stuff to come into the homes clean, and just so your listeners know, what it means is how long does it buffer? How's the car start to stutter just when Claire Underwood is in a critical scene? I mean, part of the magic of Netflix has been that when you queued it up, it worked. What if it didn't work very good? Then it wouldn't seem like such a good deal.
And so this question of what will be the impact of the merger, in New York City, most of our listeners, again, are Time Warner cable customers, if they're cable customers. David Cohen, executive vice president of Comcast, was quoted on NPR's Morning Edition last week on the issue of competition and what changes those consumers might see. Here's what he said.
We don't compete with Time Warner cable, period. No consumer has a choice between our two companies. So putting them together is not limiting choice in any particular way.
So this giant merger, not limiting choice in any particular way for consumers. What do you make of that, David Carr?
I would pull back from that just a little bit and say, so you don't compete anywhere. Why is that? Why did that happen? To some extent, municipalities, because of the infrastructure cost of putting in cable systems, limit to one vendor. But you would think in this day and age that there would start to be, given all the number of technologies available, start to be competition for what is a very, you know, if you hook a consumer for life, it's like an annuity for your company. You can. So, for instance, I have a Verizon Fios. Now, it's expensive. I wouldn't say it's cheap, but it works really, really well. And because it's on a fiber optic network, and I'm sure some of your listeners say, well, I'd be willing to pay the same amount I pay for a cable coax for fiber optic. When can I get that? And the answer is probably never. Verizon has stipulated, made an agreement with Comcast and others that they won't build out more. So when Comcast executives say, well, we don't compete, therefore the merger has no impact. I guess my answer as a consumer or a pretend regulator would be, why not?
And why did Verizon say that? Why did they say we're not going to expand?
Well, I mean, there's if you come up with what are operational, if you divide and conquer territories and come up with operational monopolies, it gives you a lot more leverage across the country. And so it's more or less a kind of working detente between these big companies. And I think that the consumers may be getting caught in the middle.
We've got
Susan Crawford has written a wonderful book about comparing this to what happened with the railroads early in U.S. history.
So as far as other models, Cynthia in Manhattan, you have a question for David Carr?
Yes. First of all, I agree they should be utilities. Do I remember reading correctly that some cities have attempted to or have set up their own broadband distribution systems?
Yeah, you're very much correct. Santa Monica, Kansas City is working with Google, Austin. They're working more or less on the head end to come up with ways of allowing consumers to have municipal access. Not only that, but really fast speeds, which is the exciting part, and at a cost that's lower than most cable systems.
And in those cases, it's just a matter of political will in those particular municipalities?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, you're investing in infrastructure at a time when all municipalities and counties are certainly under a very significant stress just to keep people warm and keep them fed. So it's a little bit of a tough sale in that way. But, you know, web access for all, equal web access for all, I do think is something of an equality issue. I don't want to get all crunchy on you, but in order for kids to compete in school, for people to compete in jobs, they should have a nice, fat internet connection just like everybody else. It shouldn't just go to people who can afford to pay for it like me.
And we're not just talking about internet access when it comes to Comcast. Your column also reminds us that we're talking about content, reminding us about Comcast's move to acquire NBC Universal, which of course includes the network we celebrate, where we celebrate the return of Bob Costas after his pink eye, as well as Sci-Fi and Bravo and a whole lot more. So Comcast controls all of this content from NBC Universal and now will control so much of this cable market. I mean, just talk about that commingling a bit. Should that worry us?
Well, it worries me. I don't want to suggest that Comcast has been a company of bad faith. They made commitments when they bought NBC Universal. They more or less cut a deal with the FCC, and they've certainly abided, I guess, in the main with those commitments. So I don't want to suggest that they've operated in bad faith. But, I mean, part of it has to do with scale, Anna, is it, let's say if you have an elephant, but the elephant promises to be very well-behaved, and in fact is a well-behaved elephant, do you want that elephant in your living room? It's just as a matter of course, because of its size, that things are going to tend to get knocked over. That when the elephants fight, I think it's a Vietnamese scene, when elephants grapple, the grass gets trampled, and in this instance, it would be the consumer. And if you have somebody that owns both the pipes and then a big chunk of what goes into the pipes, it's a little worrisome. Now, it's made them better behaved in terms of their negotiations with other content providers, because they're both a buyer and a seller. But long run, if you have somebody that owns what's coming into your house and how it gets there, it should be, how do you really push back against that as a consumer?
Well, that gets us back to regulation and the FCC. I mean, you mentioned Comcast owning the pipes and where the pipes are going, and they also have very close friendships with the people who are regulating the pipes. We got a comment on Facebook from a listener, Nicole, who says it reflects how there is truly no free market in this industry and how the FCC's outdated definitions and regulations are hurting customers. So let's talk a bit about the FCC and this rapidly changing landscape of cable companies and internet providers. Does the FCC have the sort of definitions and regulatory charge to handle this rapidly changing landscape?
It's hard to think of any. I mean, as a reporter, I have trouble keeping up with this stuff day to day, and it's hard to think of any regulatory apparatus that would be flexible and fungible enough to keep up. And part of what's going on is the build-out, the roll-up, is happening so rapidly that it's outstripping our ability to regulate it. One of my concerns, I guess, is that when you see a company that first acquires a lot of content, then acquires a huge cable competitor, if you're competing with them, you say to yourself, maybe I need to get bigger too, and maybe I need leverage too. And I don't think rapid consolidation in the entertainment and cable space would lead to richer programming, lower pricing, or more a better product being delivered to consumers.
And that being said, in your column, you express almost sort of no. You think that this merger is definitely going to be approved by the FCC, is your implication, because of the relationships that these companies have with regulators and with the White House.
I want to be careful about that, because I've been, like, in the media business, I used to spend a lot of time predicting the future, and the future just keeps turning out in ways I never would have imagined. Like, if you had told me Jeff Bezos was going to buy the Washington Post, I would have told you you were out of your skull. So I don't want to – I would say that the groundwork has been laid. As often is the case with Comcast, they've done a good job of laying down the groundwork. Could there be a wholesale pushback on the part of consumers or some of their competitors? I'm not a Washington reporter. I'm not a regulatory reporter. So I'm not saying that the fix is in, but the fix often doesn't have to be in if you've got everything aligned in the way that you would like it. Things can still happen in an orderly and above board way, but you're going to get the outcome that you want.
We have a question from important to us in New York City. Time Warner Cable, of course, runs New York One, our local news, Pat Kiernan, Papers in the Morning. Anything there going to be affected by this merger?
I couldn't say for sure, but that'd be really sad if it was, wouldn't it?
It would be really sad.
I just think that's one of the problems that I have with bigness in general is the idiosyncrasies of these respective companies. There are aspects, even though people love to hate their cable company, hard to hate Pat Kiernan. You know what I mean? And there are charms that evolve from competition. Good things happen when people have to compete. And if we have monolithic ownership, I worry that some of the content will suffer.
And just another question about local content. Aaron in Brooklyn, you cut the cord yesterday?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. So
you
cut your cable yesterday. Then what happened?
I had unbundled cable and internet, and so it was simply wiping one charge from the bill. However, Time Warner responded by saying, hey, don't return the cable box, don't return the remote. We will give you local channels for free. And so I said yes. And I don't know whether this was simply a ploy for them to let me keep the hardware in my home in case I change my mind, or if they have to offer me local channels by law. I don't know.
What's going on, I think, Aaron, is in New York, there's a service called Aereo, which is owned by Barry Diller, and it's backed by Barry Diller of the Interactive Company, and it sets up an antenna farm in Brooklyn where you live, and people are given internet access to a kind of antenna that also has a DVR attached. And what that does for, I think it's 10 or 12 bucks a month, is gives you access to local television. Well, local television charges cable companies a lot of money for carriage. Those fees have been a fundamental part of what's been great about their business. And they're worried that the Aereo, which has already survived a couple of court tests, will be a workaround on that, and they'll lose access to those carriage fees. And I think it's partly what you say, Aaron, is they're going to leave this stuff there just in case, say, HBO comes up with a show you can't resist and can't access any other way. When I quit a Comcast, I insisted that they come and get their gear, and they were very reluctant to take their gear out because that hardware, you know, you can flip it on, you can flip it off. I mean, part of what they're up against is when you're, as a cable cutter, if you want Netflix tomorrow, you can start it. If you don't want it the day after, you can get rid of it. It's very friction-free. People like doing business with internet companies, like the easy on, easy off, like the absence of friction, whereas cable companies, we all have spent time on permahold with them, and you can't help but, by the time they pick up, just be livid. And so I do think that they're working on some of the optics to make sure that they remain part of your life.
Well, that's interesting. So it's partially keeping that free local TV for Aaron in Brooklyn is at least Time Warner in some ways trying to step up their customer service.
Well, and also operate defensively against Aereo and say you don't need Aereo. We'll be there for you. There's so many moving parts to this, and there's a game happening over the game that even those of us who try to read a lot and stay with it probably aren't totally up on. I mean, it's a very difficult operational space.
Any chance, I mean, one thing, despite all these rapid changes, one thing that hasn't changed is people don't like dealing with their cable companies. Consumer Reports recently ranked telecom bundlers according to their perceived value. Out of 16 companies, Comcast ranked 8th, Time Warner Cable ranked 10th. Customer service at the very on-the-ground level of waiting for your cable guy to come to your door. Is this merger going to affect that, make it worse even?
I think that one of the things that cable companies are up against is an expectation of immediacy on the part of the consumer that they want what they want when they want it. And by having to maintain and deliver So the cable companies, when you think about it, are a little bit in the last mile delivery business, you know, that part that comes into your house. And that's a fairly cost intensive. And Mr. Roberts and others have argued that this will allow them to make investments in infrastructure. But there's, I mean, the inefficiency in them getting to your house, the amount of time that it takes, the staffing levels that they use to service, the cable companies have another word for that. Those are their profits. And so if they were to really bulk up and be able to service you in a timely manner, I'm not picking on Comcast in this way. We've all had it would eat into their profits. And after all, who they're responsible first and foremost to is their shareholders, not their customers. That's why many people argue that when it comes to internet, at least, not cable, that what we're talking about is something that's fundamentally a utility and should be operated as such.
So waiting for the cable guy, just think I'm just collecting profits for them. David Carr is media columnist and culture reporter for The New York Times. Thanks so much for joining us to explain this pending merger.
Oh, Anna, it was fun to talk with you.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. After the break, we'll look at fracking and regulation in Texas natural gas drilling. I'm Anna Sale, in for Brian Lehrer.